Hello, my name is Desmond Lynch. I'm 23 years old and I want to be a filmmaker. I made a podcast called The Witch in the Orchard and I'd like to tell you about it. Post-production. So post-production was a difficult phase for me. It required a lot of technical knowledge, which I lacked at the time, alongside access to the right sound and music. As I said in a previous episode, each episode contained 8 hours worth of audio, including narration and the actual dialogue itself. I worked with 2 sound engineers during production, Craig Sheridan and Sean McDonough. Both had 2 different methods of recording. With Craig, he would record the entire 4-hour-long session, while Sean would just record the takes of the dialogue. Both methods have their merits and issues. With Craig's method, it ensures that there is nothing missing, nothing gets corrupted or interfered, but having a 4-hour-long audio file takes up more space on a hard drive, and in the edit there's a lot of dead air you have to cut out, which is time consuming. With Sean's method, it's a lot smaller in size and there's a lot less dead air you have to cut out, but there is a higher risk of things just being missing, slip-ups, etc. Thankfully, none of that happened on my project, but it is a possibility and worthy of concern. I was actually asked during production if I would rather work with one sound engineer only. I declined because having only one sound engineer on hand would make me dependent on one person's availability. Having 2 was easier for scheduling purposes. It took about a month just to cut down the audio, removing all the dead air and being left alone with just the takes of dialogue. Narration was easiest to edit as there was a lot less to work with, so once you cut out the chatter and other stuff like that, you had what you needed. Dialogue was a bit more difficult because you had multiple takes of the same lines alongside the chatter, so it was a bit of an issue sorting through it, even with the waveform. After a while editing, you can differentiate dialogue from chatter and other noises just by the shape of the waveform. Certain words make certain shapes in the waveform, however, even knowing this, it's worth checking out all the sound, making sure you're not missing anything at all. Once all the dead air is gone, you have to listen back to all the dialogue. That's 9 different actors. Each line has at least 2 takes, some have up to 10. Depending on the scene and the episode, you could have up to 30 different lines for a single character, many of them being long paragraphs. With each line, you listen to each take again and again, sorting out which one is best. You do that for every character, and once you have the lines chosen, you sort out a rough cut. You move the lines in place, narration where it's supposed to go, which dialogue where it's supposed to go, Frankfurt dialogue where it's supposed to go, so on and so forth. Then of course you listen over the entire rough cut, which has now been cut down from 8 hours to 45 minutes or 50 minutes. You listen and you think about pacing, about what is needed and what is not, and if required, you swap out the takes to fit better with the narrative. The latter part is essential. You might like the performance in one take, but if it doesn't gel well with the following take, it becomes a problem. So you need to swap it out for a take that is more suitable. This is a bit tricky to do with voice acting, as all the actors are recorded by themselves. There is no scene partner to read off, to react to. You're essentially performing into the void. It's an awkward enough thing to do as an actor. As a director, it's concerning because you want to be concerned about stuff like making sure that it sounds like 2 people are actually talking to each other. You want to maintain the illusion that these people are in the same space as each other. You want to make sure there is a consistent emotional line, that the performances don't sound flat, that they are consistent and justifiable in the scene they are given. For example, scene 4, episode 1 of the podcast, Henrika returns from the orchard back to the villa. She meets Joseph. The 2 walk down the corridor in an awkward silence. Joseph is a little rattled, having watched a woman die earlier that day. He's in a better state of mind than he was in scene 2, but he's still not doing the best. Henrika, on the other hand, has moved from surviving a riot, watching a woman die, then going on to be threatened by an evil demon spirit, and then attacked by a bunch of trees trying to kill her. Safe to say, she's shaken to the core. The scene starts off with them being both quiet. Joseph is a little hesitant. Henrika is tired. Joseph starts inquiring about certain things and makes an off comment, which offends Henrika. That, of course, leads to an argument that gets progressively more heated. The concern for me here with heated dialogue like this is making sure that the responses feel justified in the context of the scene. With dialogue being recorded by isolated actors, you gotta make sure that the tone of voice, the pacing, the volume, the entire way the lines are being delivered feel justified. In the context of this scene, Joseph makes an off-color comment, Henrika takes offense, but with Joseph's tone with the initial comment, it doesn't make sense for Henrika to immediately blow up or start shouting. Her tone has to be judgmental and condescending, very irked but not overly angry. She's responding in a way that makes sense for her. Joseph then begins explaining himself with no shame or self-awareness whatsoever, and that's what escalates the argument. So with that in mind, there is a lot of things going into each and every take. You listen to the sequence again and again to make sure you got it right. Sometimes you'll combine the audio of two or more takes to get the exact performance you need, hit the exact beats you need for the scene to work, and that's before you even get to figuring out the pacing. Pacing, how quickly or slowly the story is being told, is crucial to think about. For the opening in scene 1, episode 1, the pacing had to be a bit slow. It's a slow burn. That first 10 minutes is setting up the tone, the plot, introducing the main character and the main antagonist of the series. So it needed time to breathe. It needed time for the audience to process all the information they are being presented with. Counteract that with scene 3 in episode 1, the pacing goes back and forth. It starts off slow because you need that creep factor with the introduction of the pale girl and the weird stuff of the orchard itself. You have the fire scene, which triggers Henrika's PTSD, so the pacing had to quicken up a bit to make it feel more intense and urgent, and then calm down and go slower. Then, when Henrika enters the mist, the pacing enters a gradual incline. It picks up a little to add to the suspense. Then, when the tree attacks, it escalates once more, getting faster and faster until she leaves the mist, escapes, and in the calm, the pacing returns to normal. All of that, where each line is placed, whether to put the actors' dialogue closer to each other to make it feel like a fast-paced discussion, or further apart to add space for reflection, where to place music and sound effects for immersion and emotional upheaval, all of that has to be taken into consideration. Keep in mind, you have to do all of that for 3 episodes, all which are 40 to 50 minutes long each. It's a lot of work, which is partly why I had to take a break from editing for a few weeks. It just drained all my creative decision-making. When I did get back to editing, at that point I had finished a rough cut, which was the dialogue and pacing I would be using for the next edit. At this point, it was time to add music and sound effects. Sound effects, of course, being a variety of different things, namely ambience tracks, room tone, foley, stuff like that. Ambience tracks help create a feeling of the world, so throughout most of the series, the exterior scenes have this cold, oppressive wind drone sound, which gives this weird, accursed vibe to the entire story. Each scene required its own kind of sound. The interiors of the villa required these quiet, clean corridor sounds. Henrika's quarters required this kind of damp feel to it, which is why you have all this stuff like an ever-present drip in the background. It just makes the place sound like a real shithole. The villa yard had varying sounds. It always had this cold, oppressive vibe to it, but it also required a sense of life. So some scenes, when it's busy, you'll hear people in the background. When it's empty, you'll hear this eerie silence mixed with doors and windows slamming shut. Exteriors required a lot of wind noise. Gregor's farm, for instance, needed to sound like it was straight out of a John Ford movie. This great big expanse, low wind, gentle farm ambience, that type of thing. The graveyard needed to sound cold and just awful, so you had winds alongside owl sounds to help aid the fact that this was late at night. The big stuff, of course, was in the orchard itself. You had this oppressive wind drone, now much stronger than before, alongside these weird, creepy wind noises like whispers in the wind, that type of thing. Then you had a variety of drones, these creepy electronic wave drones, really unsettling stuff, and that's before you get into the actual mist itself. Then all of that stuff is essentially quadrupled to create this really oppressive atmosphere, the type of place that makes you feel unsafe and that you need to leave right now. Sonically, that's what I wanted to achieve. Sound effects played a big role too, not only in conveying the atmosphere, but telling the story in many different ways. Pale Girl can always be heard entering and exiting a scene by the sound of leaves blowing through an orchard, even in areas outside of the orchard, like in episode 2, scene 2, where the Pale Girl confronts Henrika outside of Susanna's home. You have crows ever-present in the orchard and in other scenes. I liked crow noises because it added to the vibe and signified the presence of death in the valley. You have that in the opening of episode 2 and the final scene of episode 3. Then, of course, you have the big stuff, namely the trees coming to life. It was a bit tricky at first trying to figure out how to convey the fact that the trees are coming to life and attacking you purely through audio means. Outside of the narration itself, you needed it to sound plausible, so I took the sounds of trees falling over and mixed them together with twig snaps, branch snaps, earth upheaval, and big impact noises. It created a sense of this massive imposing force, and ever since its intro in scene 3, episode 1, the sound of a twig snap just creates suspense. Then you had the most difficult set piece, the River of Acidic Blood. That was difficult. It took a lot of thinking about how to convey the sheer chaos and terror of that scene, because not only did you have the ground cracking up, you had this giant underground river of black acidic blood that was eroding the land around it. So you had to convey with blood, a river, and acidic purely through audio means. There is no natural rivers of acid in the world. The volume of water compared to acid is very different, so a river of acid sounds different to a river of water. You can't use lava because lava sounds like, well, lava. It was a bit of a tricky one that I'd had in-depth conversations with during production with the sound engineers and the sound mixers I worked with. We all agreed it would be a lot of work. At the end of the day, I decided not to go for a totally realistic sound and instead settle for something more simplistic and dramatic. What we have is several different sounds layered on top of one another, the first being this roaring wind. It helps establish the chaos and elemental nature of the scene. Then we have the sound of the ground breaking apart, explosions, stuff like that. That is then followed up by the sound of a roaring river. That helps establish the volume and momentum of the river of blood. Then on top of that, you have this sizzling acid noise, which of course signifies the unnatural acidic nature of the river of blood. Then of course you have sound effects of rocks dissolving, objects falling and fizzling away, all in order to establish the chaotic and destructive nature of this river. On top of that, you have various music tracks which help to hit emotional beats, going from terror to determination and then tragedy, all of which had to be leveled out accordingly. This was one of the more difficult scenes to edit because there's just so much going on. Dialogue is a priority that has to be clear and loud. However, everything else needs to be present to establish the chaos of the scene. But they couldn't be too loud because that would affect dialogue. They couldn't be too quiet because then you wouldn't hear it and the scene loses its suspense. It's a tricky balance, but in the end, I adjusted it accordingly and got what I wanted. Enrique's death scene, of course, had to be quieter, it had to be more intimate, so all that noise was taken out and all you have is heartbeats, distorted ambience that fades out, and finally the death scream of the pale girl. That one I had difficulty sorting out because no matter how I mixed it, the scream always had too many artifacts and sounded fake. So I ended up reaching out to Sean McDonald, one of the sound engineers that worked on production. I asked if he could give me some insight. He pointed out the problems and mixed a version that sounded good, so I ended up just using that. For these kind of mixes with the effects and stuff like that, you need things like plugins. Basically, the editing software I use, Adobe Audition, has the ability to allow you to add these effects, but they're limited. So you need an external software that you can incorporate into your editing program to allow you to make better effects, which are known as plugins. That kind of stuff is, well, it's above my skill set and interest. I'm not a sound mixer for post-production. That stuff is just, I don't know, it's rocket science to me. I'm a pretty good amateur, but I have no interest in going pro, and even if I wanted to, I don't have the money for plugins anyway, so I settled with what I have. The rest of the edit was relatively simple. The following scene in the orchard had to be quiet. It had to act as a sudden departure, going from chaos and despair to order and calm. The rest of the episode is primarily dialogue focused, with the occasional foley of horses, villagers, soldiers from the waste, etc. All these sound effects and music were royalty-free stuff I'd find online. I'd spend hours at a time listening to hundreds of different sounds just to get the right one, and that right one would be mixed together with dozens of other so-called right ones to create a scene that I wanted. What I wanted was something that gave me an emotional reaction, namely a reaction that fitted the scene it belonged to. So, for example, with the reveal in the ending where Henrika returns to the village of Harrisborough 8 years later and finds Lorcan has been turned into this mindless foot soldier by an invading army, you want that feeling of horror, of heartbreak, and of despair. So, with this reveal, the ambience takes a backseat. It's EQ'd in such a way where it sounds more distant, like her primary focus is solely on the revelation. Then of course you have the music, which helps hit those emotive beats, guided along by the narration and dialogue, which is carefully pieced out, levels adjusted accordingly so every single word is said and heard perfectly. That in turn creates an emotional scene, and you do stuff like that for every scene, or you try to. Sometimes you can't get the right sound, sometimes you can't get the right music, sometimes the pacing is off just slightly but there's no way to fix it without more content, sometimes a line falls flat or something is off so you gotta fix it. There is a lot of thought that goes into this, which is exhausting, and there's no one you can talk to about it because it's so personal and complicated. Keep in mind, I made this entire thing by myself. There's no one who could understand a scene like I did, no one to play him but myself, and after a while, doubt festers and you gotta take a break. But the break has to come to an end, and when you do something, you gotta see it all the way through. Even if you've grown so numb that you don't even know if what you have is any good. I listened to this entire series damn near 200 times on my final listen to make sure everything was in tip-top shape. For the first time in months, I felt good about what I made. It wasn't half bad. After the mixing was finished, I of course exported it and uploaded it to my podcast domain of choice, but that of course is a story for another day. Thank you for listening, and goodbye.